This is Bulldog Live on the Pulse. To get in touch about the news of the day, call 866-823-1077. Now, here's Brian Tilton and Bulldog Live.
Second hour of Bulldog Live underway right now here on the Pulse at 1-866-823-1077 is the phone number. You can join us at any time and join the conversation or email us, brian@briantilton.com. And, you know, as we do from time to time, we do have guests on the show. And there's one in particular that this one's going to be, well, it piques my curiosity, certainly, to say, given the underlying subject matter of it. Northern Pass, yes. Jerry Monkman joins us now. He is, Jerry, would it, eco-photographer be the right term to use for you?
You could say that, or conservation photographer.
Okay, good. We'll pull that microphone up a little right in front of you there, and we can hear you a little bit better. So, nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
All right, now, if anybody recognizes that voice, they'll know this is a voice that has done some narrations for the Forest Society for some videos, particularly with their Trees Not Towers campaign that we've shared audio of that from about, you know, is this what you want to look at across New Hampshire's landscape?
Right. So. I never knew I'd be a narrator, but that seems to be where my journey's taking me.
Well, you've done good work, I can tell you.
Thank you.
And a lot of the pictures. Now, I'm familiar with your photographs, mainly from some Forest Society publications and the like, but you do a lot of stuff on your own, don't you?
Sure, yeah. I'm a freelance photographer, have been for 20 years. I've worked with dozens of conservation organizations in New England and beyond during that time, as well as magazines like Yankee Magazine and, mm-hmm. and other publications around the country.
Oh, good. And, you know, the one thing that I find, especially throughout northern New England and New Hampshire in particular, is just the remarkable opportunities to capture some great photographs.
Absolutely, and I'm a flatlander. I grew up in Chicago. So
okay.
but my mom has New England roots, and I've lived out here for 25 years. And to me, you know, the White Mountains are as dramatic as the Rockies. But
yeah.
I'm always amazed the places I get sent to photograph in New England. I never expect to find another little sort of hidden gem, and they're everywhere. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's get off the beaten path even. It's just really remarkable.
Exactly.
So, yeah. You're working on a project now, something called The Power of Place. Let's talk about that one.
Sure. Yeah, I'm producing an independent documentary about Northern Pass that's going to be called The Power of Place. And my goal is to sort of broaden awareness of this issue, because I think, you know, the folks in the North Country have done an incredible job of explaining how Northern Pass is going to negatively impact the individuals up there. But mm-hmm. I feel that, you know, this is really a bigger issue. This is 180 miles of transmission lines. It's going to create this scar in New Hampshire. And not only is it going to affect the thousands of people in that right away, but all of us here in the state who love to, say, go to the North Country to fly fish or snowmobile, yep. hike in the White Mountains, or even down here in Concord. I mean, I'm sure people here want to take their dogs for a walk in the woods or go paddle at a little pond like Turtle Pond and,
yes.
and feel like they've left the city. And I mm-hmm. feel like Northern Pass is going to change that for so many of us that I really want to bring that to light.
Funny you should mention Turtle Pond. That's one of my one of my favorite areas around Concord to stop and look at. And I just from a certain view, and I look back and go, could I really be looking at 135 foot tall towers going right through the middle of this conservation land?
You really could.
Yeah.
And I'm going to head out there this afternoon and do some filming, hopefully as a precursor to the film.
Yeah, it's really remarkable when you look at not just the landscapes, but the lives that are impacted by the Northern Pass proposal. And it's still just a proposal at
sure.
this point. You know, a lot of we'll call it a project, but it's a project that really hasn't gone too far. But what inspired you to get involved in doing this documentary, this independent production?
I wasn't really that aware of Northern Pass till the Forest Society approached me a couple years ago, because I'd done a lot of photography for them, and
mm-hmm.
and they asked me to film some of those pieces that you mentioned earlier. And once I started meeting some of these individuals who are really going to be impacted by this, I became much more concerned of the project. But also, as a photographer who really was inspired to start his career because of places like the White Mountains and the Appalachian Trail, I realized that this film needed to be made to tell the story of places like that as well, because 10 miles of the right-of-way are going to go right through the White Mountains. They're going to cross the Appalachian Trail pretty high up, I think around 2,500 to 3,000 feet.
Yeah.
Will affect the view for everyone who loves to do that. And to me, that created more of a personal connection and a story that I felt needed to be told to. There's thousands of people like me who have that connection.
Now, video production, as we know, anybody who's ever attempted it, it's very time consuming and very costly.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a lot more work than a little photo shoot, for sure. And even, you know, this documentary is going to be pretty simple. I mean, probably half the time it'll just be me out filming, but I'll need to be filming, you know, 5 days to get a few minutes of footage for one specific location, and I'll also have a crew for other parts of it. So, you know, this is going to cost upwards of $40,000-$50,000.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And where do you plan on going with it once it's finally produced?
Well, I'm going to be distributing it on DVD, as well as trying to get it into independent theaters around New England, film festivals. We'll put it anywhere we can get it shown. I'm currently raising money through a website called Kickstarter.com to fund the project. So sort of what they call crowdfunding.
Okay.
So instead of trying to get big donations from foundations or people with deep pockets, you try to get hundreds and hundreds of small donations to make this thing happen. And I've got 3 days left to raise that money through.
You only have 3 days left.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm almost 70% there. So we're getting close, but it's down to the wire. But I wanted to do that for a few reasons. One, I felt that it was important to get going on this right away. This is an issue that's happening now. And I want this, you know, it's going to take the rest of the year to get this done. And I want this film to be able to have some legs that can be shown over the course of the discussion of Northern Pass. And I felt trying to raise that money through sort of traditional means might take me the whole year.
it very well could.
So I wanted to just reach out to all my broad social networks and all my friends' networks and try to get this thing done from lots of little donations.
So what happens? People just go to Kickstarter.com, and then what do they do?
If they do a search for The Power of Place or my name, Jerry Monkman, they'll find the campaign on there, and it'll give them a list of pledging levels that they can donate. And what's fun about Kickstarter is every pledge level comes with a reward, and I've tried to structure those rewards so you're getting some value for your money besides feeling good about donating to the project. So
okay.
It can be as simple as a signed copy of the DVD to a day in the field with the film crew, or a day of personal photography instruction with a friend of yours and me in the White Mountains somewhere, something like that.
Wow. So this is something, obviously, you're filming all your own, right?
Correct.
And then are you narrating it, I presume?
I haven't decided.
You haven't gotten there yet. Okay.
Part of that depends on my funding level. So
uh-huh.
If
yeah,
I get enough,
afford,
we'll get some good professional voice talent. Otherwise, you know, people seem to say I've got a good voice for these things.
Well, you do. Take it from somebody who talks for a living.
But I have found it's really challenging for me because I don't have that professional experience. And depending on the time of day and how much coffee I've had, I can sound completely different, and it's really hard to get that consistency that pros like you tend to get.
Oh, I'm all over the place. You know, I get wound up. I'm mellow. I'm somewhere in between a lot. So yeah, I understand. But Jerry Monkman joining us here on Bulldog Live, The Power of Place. Now you've been posting some stuff on the internet too already. What are they, discussions you've been having with people?
I'm primarily sort of posting my thoughts about Northern Pass and The Power of Place on my blog. You know, it's why I want to do this. It's sort of like, okay, why, as people who live in New Hampshire, would we support a project that is going to really destroy New Hampshire experience for a lot of people when we don't need this power? You know, New Hampshire produces 70% more power than it uses. So we don't need this. We're being asked to bear the brunt of this. And is this something we should support?
It's just the pass-through, really.
Exactly.
It's to go to people in Connecticut, as is evidenced by legislation that's going on down there right now as we speak.
Right. And, you know, I'm not an expert on energy. As much as I'm trying to read about Northern Pass, I can't understand all the minutiae of how the energy market works. But I feel that, you know, the people of Connecticut might want to be coming up with creative ways to solve their renewable energy needs, as opposed to asking us to bear the brunt of
that. Well, sacrifice our landscape and what I would consider is their playground up here, too.
Exactly.
How many people come up here to visit, and why do they come here to visit?
Right. It's not to feel like they're in Hartford.
Right.
It's to feel like they're in the White Mountains or the Lakes region or the North Country.
One day I was visiting Polar Caves last year, and the wife and I, we had our orange shirts on, no Northern Pass. And
excellent.
We had a lot of people come up to us and just ask us, what is this all about? I see these signs everywhere. So it gave me a chance to talk with people from Pennsylvania, from New York. I love the guys I got from Brooklyn, New York.
Oh. Cool.
This was a hoot. I told them what it was, and then they just looked at me and says, well, then why would I want to come up here if I'm just going to see the same thing that I see in the city?
Exactly.
I said, bingo! I said, here, can I give you some phone numbers to call some legislators? You know?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the point I'm trying to make. Mm-hmm. And it's you don't even have to get people as far away as Brooklyn to have that experience. I'm having it with people in Portsmouth where I live.
Yeah.
You know, they might have heard of Northern Pass because, you know, they're enlightened. They listen to NHPR. They have heard stories about this. But they haven't really made the connection that this is not just a North Country issue, that it really impacts anyone who ventures away from their little community and to enjoy vacations in New Hampshire's wild places.
One of my favorite drives is Interstate 93, you know, going up to Franconia Notch, especially once you get up past Plymouth in that area. Mm-hmm. It's just a whole different world. I love it in the fall. I love it everywhere. I'm going to have to look at these ugly towers. If they get their way, I would have to look at these ugly towers all the way up to Franconia Notch.
Right. And there's at least, I think, 7 or 8 crossings between Plymouth and Woodstock, I mean, which is crazy. And then, I mean, just imagine, let's say you're coming up from Boston to go for a hike on the Appalachian Trail, and mm-hmm. you drive up 93, you see this over and over again, you get off on 112, you go through Woodstock, you have to see it again, then you go for your hike, you think you're finally on your hike.
Or if you go on the zip line in Lincoln,
sure,
for crying out loud, yeah. They got the proposal to come right through their property,
right.
I believe.
Yeah, they're one of the businesses that you'll see in Lincoln that actually has a Stop Northern Pass sign right in their window, because they know that this impacts tourism. It impacts their economy and their way of making
even that
making
the
a
Chamber of Commerce out of Lincoln said no. You know, they right. took a position against the Northern Pass project. So in looking at this, Jerry Monkman joining us, by the way, Kickstarter.com, and then just search for Jerry Monkman or The Power of Place. And you can contribute to his filmmaking efforts here. And let me tell you, folks, if you haven't seen any of his photography of New Hampshire's landscape, you're missing a treat. very,
thank you.
Very good stuff. So I can only imagine that this documentary will really make a measurable impact on the debate of what we've been talking about for so long.
I hope so. You know, I've spent 20 years doing conservation photo projects for conservation groups, and the majority of those are little projects that are vastly supported by the local communities. And, you know, it's for public parks or wildlife or even working forests that helps keep jobs in the community,
sure,
or sustain local economies. And, you know, a lot of people can't have that experience of walking the land that is involved in these projects. And, you know, photography and filmmaking is, you know, it's not the only piece, but it's a really important piece in telling that story to people who can't experience it for themselves. And I think it can make a big difference in helping to make these types of projects succeed.
Now, as an independent filmmaker, I think it's important to point out that you're not receiving funding from any of these organizations, right?
That's correct. Yeah. And I made that choice on purpose. Because I wanted to do this from my own point of view. I also didn't want to think it was an agenda of any one specific organization.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's definitely going to be a pointed film. I mean, it's a documentary. There's no such thing as a documentary that's not propaganda, if you ask me. So it will, you know, have a point of view opposed to Northern Pass, but it's going to be my point of view and the point of view really of the people that end up being interviewed in the documentary. And it's, you know, as much going to be them telling the story as it is me.
Now, you're 70% there on the fundraising. You've already given out a dollar amount as to how much this is costing to put this together.
Yeah.
About $50,000 would be a fair figure to say?
Right. And I'm trying to raise $35,000 right now through the Kickstarter campaign. So I've raised about $22,000 at this point.
All right. So you're a good bit there, but we need to get you over the edge.
Yeah. And, you know, I know there's a lot of you waiting to the last minute.
A lot of people do.
It's the last minute, folks.
This is the last minute. Only three more days.
Right.
And when do you think this would be completed, if all goes right?
Yeah, my goal is December 1st this year.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I'll pretty much start production almost right away. Probably, you know, June 1st. It'll take me a couple of weeks to sort of get everything in order to get started. And and hopefully I'll finish filming the end of the summer and then spend a few months just on the post-production work.
I imagine the documentary will include some interviews with some affected people along the way.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm still identifying those people. I have a few in mind, but I want to hold those close to the vest right now.
That's fine. That's fine. But I can. Well, any names I throw at you, you've probably heard already. But
yeah,
okay.
You know, I think it would be boring if it was just me talking for the whole the whole film. And the story's really going to be much more interesting coming from the voices of people that are intimately associated with the land that I'll be depicting.
One experience that I had last summer when talking about the potential impact on the White Mountain National Forest and the Appalachian Mountain Club, I was at a meeting in Sugar Hill. The local organization there had put on a forum at their town hall. And Appalachian Mountain Club had given a preview of their analysis, their view, you know, the impact on the views, not only just on the Appalachian Trail, but throughout the whole state. And it was just amazing that Concord would have the largest impact of any community in the state. But it wasn't just that. It was this one lady that, you know, again, she just retired here, wanted to have a nice, peaceful place to live, enjoy this spectacular scenery from her home, and just to see how this view would be marred by these towers, which right now, along the existing right-of-way, there is a line that goes through there, but it doesn't come above the tree line. So you really don't see it until you're underneath it. These things get built, you're going to destroy an entire community that relies on tourism. And a lot of people know where Sugar Hill is, you know, sure. right near Franconia. I mean, that's just an amazing, spectacular place.
Right. And I think the, you know, a lot of people don't realize, okay, so yeah, there is 140 miles of this already exists in a way. The right of way exists with these existing power lines. But it is going to be a dramatic change. They're low voltage lines. They're on shorter wooden telephone pole style towers that are 45 to 50 feet high, almost always below the tree line where they're at. So not only will they be widening the right of way in a lot of places, but whatever towers they put up are going to be at least, 80 to 150% higher than what is there already. And also, you know, steel and much more industrialized looking.
Well, exactly like you said, you're going over to Turtle Pond this afternoon to do some filming over there. And, you know, there's an impact. Just anybody just stop, you know, look from the boat launch area there. Look from almost any point, even coming up Oak Hill Road. You know, how much are you going to see of that from either direction that you approach Turtle Pond, especially if you're going towards Loudoun and you get to the top of the hill there? And just take a look back over Turtle Pond. And, I do it on my bicycle, so I get to do it a lot. And I've taken pictures and I've posted this, and I'm like, this is conservation land. What is anybody even thinking about going through there with this?
Exactly. And not only the visual impact, but this is a much higher voltage line as well. So, there is a high voltage line west of Concord.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever gone and stood under those wires.
it makes me a little nervous. I hear crackling all the time.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine paddling in a canoe under all that electricity while you're dipping your hand in the water. I mean, it's going to be a little disconcerting. You're
trying to catch some fish out of there or whatever it may be. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the same experience. It's going to be a very negative impact.
Well, I'm glad that you're involved with this. I'm glad you're going to do this documentary, The Power of Place, it's called. Expected to be out in December, but we got to help Jerry raise some money for it here. So you go to Kickstarter.com and look for The Power of Place or Jerry Monkman. And it's spelled just like it sounds. And, contribute what you can, because there's only 3 days left.
Great.
And we want to make this as powerful, make this as powerful of an impact as possible.
Absolutely.
So great.
Thank you, Brian.
Jerry, thank you for coming in today.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it.